Episode 7 of the Diaz and Quimby DQ Sports Blizzard. We had a really gritty start to this show, unfortunately. My PC that we run the entire program off of decided to crash right at 4:56 because Windows decided it wanted to make updates. I love Windows updates.
You can block them, I think.
I don't know how. Chad, you're on it.
Get on it, Chad. What the fuck? Sorry for all the parents with kids in the car.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Sorry if
your car. Not really drive time language.
Sorry if your car pulling back from football practice right now or or soccer. Sorry about that. God, we've got a lot to get to. Got a lot to get to this week. But let's first go over our sponsors. So everybody knows everybody that's making this program possible. And adding to the permanent list, our good friends Bourbon Blue in Manayunk. Mel and Brendan over there have been friends of the program since 1999. And
I wasn't here in 1999.
You weren't even born yet, were you?
No, no. I'm just rounding my 19th birthday here today. So I'm almost there.
And our good friends at Stateside Vodka, premium vodka blended and distilled right here in beautiful Fishtown. Our friends at Miller Lite and Yards. We're looking again at Yards right from top of our beautiful studio skyline here in Northern Liberties.
I see the tanks or whatever they're called, the official term, yep. Tanks.
We've got Bucks County Baseball Company, even though I don't know how to spell baseball if you guys are looking at that right now.
Bassball.
Our good friends, Bassball. Our good friends at Bucks County Bassball Company. Everything from vintage gear to current trendy everything Philadelphia sports, and of course all of our Cavanaugh's restaurants throughout the city, Riverdeck, Head House, Rittenhouse, our good friend Paul down in the basement over there, and of course where Diaz and I had our formidable years, one more time, 39th and Sansom, University City, Cavanaugh's. Also, of course, our friends over at Delilah's and the beautiful ladies there, and I've been neglecting to mention our good friend Steak, who was with us for a little bit at the Colts tailgate running Barnaby's over in Westchester. And I wish I could get over there to see you more often, Steak, but I'll be honest with you, I don't like fucking Westchester. Not that I don't like Westchester. I don't like getting to Westchester.
That's why Westchester people never leave.
Right.
It's really hard to go. The connecting flights, I mean, there's like only two flights per day. So it's hard, you know. You got to connect.
Well put.
You got to connect down in Media. Perfect. Or something like that.
Perfect. But phone lines are open. Been when I open up Skype, which I'm going to do right now because I didn't do it earlier for reasons that you guys now know, which is Windows updates. But we're going to jump right into it again. No silly topics. I think we're going to get to Flyers and Sixers, and then we're going to spend the rest of the evening on the Birds and I guess the Flyers had another gritty night. I'm just going to use it from now on. I don't want to give that fucking animal any more props, nor do I want to give that team, but it's just great when you can replace shitty with gritty.
My God. My Lord, with this the gritty, I can't believe they named it gritty. You do have to give props that they've given him the right or a funny sort of attitude.
What, you mean like a crackhead?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, hey, listen, it's there for the, he's there for the kids. If the kids love him, then great. I saw him on the.
Kids love him though?
If they will or do, I mean, little kids know they're petrified and terrified. Yeah, it's October, so it's Halloween season. But,
oh, and real fast, because I am. This is me in the seventh episode of doing this on our own. I did forget to mention that Diaz is here with me, and of course our good friend Rex is here with us as well. So when you hear that that creepy I want to go to a high school parking lot and hang out voice.
Good to see you too, buddy.
Yeah, that's our friend Rex. Currently in a stripper relationship. We're happy to talk about that right now.
It's going great.
A monogamous stripper relationship.
I'm in love with a stripper. What's that song? I got to find that. But anyway, is it just me? Or are all Flyers fans completely fucking brainwashed? Because our good friend Floody today, after I posted something about last night. He goes, yeah, this is our year, volume 48.
Yep. Well, this is, you know, I have very strong opinions about the Flyers fans or Flyers, the diehards. I've always had an issue. They're my fourth team, admittedly, and everyone knows that. If you're on my Facebook, you see that I consistently rag on them. But I do want them to win, obviously. And,
of course.
You know, I do.
Good
like,
for business. Good for everybody. Good for the city.
And there's nothing like a playoff game, NHL playoff game, and attending in person. It's awesome. So I do want them to win. But there is a level of blind optimism that the Flyers get that the other teams aren't afforded. Where, you know. So what happens is, you know, like the Eagles.
Excellent
like,
point.
It's
man.
True, and it's been forever, and I never got it. I'm like, guys, this team's not going to win anything. Oh, and you know why they say you just got to make the playoffs, and anything can happen, which is true in every sport. Basketball is probably the lowest. You know, you're an eight seed, you're probably not winning at all. But baseball, it happens. Wild card wins. Football, it's not as easy. But it's possible to be a wild card and win the Super Bowl. It's happened a lot in the last 15 years, maybe four or five times, three or four. Five,
I think
I don't know.
Two.
The Giants won. The Giants won it twice. I think the Ravens did it. Because they beat Denver in Denver when they threw that bomb.
Oh, was that a six?
Or a five. I don't know all the. We're not going to keep all the stats on this.
Yeah,
but the idea is I think that's the optimism that they have. And I'm an Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, Flyers in that order. I want them all to win. You know, if the Flyers are the best team in the city, I'm going to pay more attention to them than the Phillies. And just I think that's how most people feel. You know, I got ragged on because some of my best buds who you saw last weekend, McCluskey, number one. So, Kev, if you're out there listening, this is directly at you. Where I'm like, I always thought it was ridiculous that Philly had such a weak basketball team in NBA since the NBA is so feedback. No. Yeah. Since the NBA is such a strong league, and I don't want the Flyers to go down. I just wanted the Sixers to go up. And they're a joke. The Sixers can never do anything right. The Phillies, Jesus, the whole season they can't do anything right. The Eagles right now can't do anything right. But the Flyers are always going to be winning the cup every year. it's true. And I don't get it. And you see the way that this team, you know, and it's because they're trying to win. Well, that's even worse. You're trying to win and you don't. I mean, every team is trying to win. There's different philosophies and, you know, about building a team. But the one thing I was thinking about today, I made a comment. It might have been on your thing, your post earlier today. But I remember because I am old, not as old as you two, but I am pretty old. And I remember back in 1994 when the Rangers won the Cup. And I remember the whole story, the whole theme throughout that whole little run that year was that the Rangers, this proud franchise, haven't won since 1950. They hadn't won a cup in 44 years. And just how ridiculous that is, that the Rangers, this big, proud franchise, this year will be 44 years since the Flyers won a cup.
So, really?
1970, I wasn't aware of that. 1975 was the last year they won.
44.
Wow.
That's since in 2018-19. So
I think he's trying to reassure us how old we are, Q.
Yeah, well, no, you guys are older than that. You remember the last cup. Yeah, you guys were at the parades. But so the point of that is not to just say, man, you know, don't be a Flyers fan. Don't be a Flyers fan. But just be realistic with them. You know, be realistic with them. And I don't want someone to rip on Gabe Kapler for the double switch he messed up in game 121 about how he needs to be fired. And then the Flyers, right now it's always the coach. Hackstall sucks. He shows no emotion. We need a coach with emotion. Like, it's the players. It's always the players. The Sixers don't have a GM. They're clueless. They've got good players. It's the players. Right now, is Doug Peterson doing great? Not particularly. The players are really messing up. Now, is Doug calling a flawless plan? No. Is Howie going to trade for a running back? I don't know. Hopefully, but probably not. But it's always really the players. And when you have this just mediocre guys, I'm happy that the Flyers decided that they were going to, you know what, we're going to just grow from within. We're not going to be super, you know, spendy and throw money at guys that are 32 years old. I hope they win, but I'm not expecting anything from them this year. And if they make the playoffs, that's awesome. That's good. It's not bad. But they're not winning the cup this year.
Isn't this Hextall's fourth year?
Yeah, fourth, something like that, I think.
And wasn't it, hey, got to give him a few years to get this right. And
TikTok.
Well, it's not even a TikTok. The fucking bomb has already exploded as far as I'm concerned. Because you got a guy in net last night that clearly couldn't stop a fucking puck with a wall that fits around the goalposts. Elliot, I mean, we were watching some of that while we were doing our other show, the Rob V show yesterday, and we turned it off within 4 minutes, went right to Red Sox.
They gave up
Red
two
Sox
goals
Yankees.
In like 20 seconds.
But here we go, and you're so hitting the nail on the head about this blind optimism from Flyers fans. And to add on top of that, how is there always this blind optimism when they still can't find a fucking goalie?
That's right.
The only goalie they've had since fucking Lindbergh is running this team, and he can't find one.
Well, a lot of it has to do with patience and this always trying to win mentality where what's the name of the dude on Columbus that's won the someone help me out.
Who we traded to.
Yeah, we traded because he, you know, in his second year.
Because he was a fucking head case.
In his second year. Well, it's almost like you got to have patience, and that is the most annoying thing you can tell a passionate, gritty hustle fan. Because sometimes it just takes a lot.
It is a gritty way of going about it, isn't it?
You just have to. It sucks. It's like we drafted Zach Ertz in, what, 2012, right? 2011, maybe? I don't know. Someone help me out.
2013.
2013?
It was Chip Kelly's first year.
No, Lane Johnson was the draft pick that year.
I think Ertz was in that draft.
He was a second rounder.
Let me check.
I could be wrong, but I think Ertz was
Keep going. Keep going.
I think that was 2012. I think it was Reed's last year. And it really took him like four or five seasons?
It was absolutely not
2012, second round pick.
Reed. Yeah, I think it's 2013.
They lost 8-2.
13, 14, 15, 16. He really broke out last year, but every year was Zach Ertz is going to break out. Zach Ertz is going to break out. In 16, he had some catches, but couldn't run after them.
Thanks, Sean Bobrovsky.
Sean Bobrovsky, yeah. Or Bob, or we called him Bob. Yeah. So it's all what it is.
2013 round two pick. Thank you, Quimby.
I thought it was 12.
Don't you hate losing to me?
Well, it still took him five years to get on.
I'm still running parties. Don't worry.
I got you. So it's just the lack of patience. And this is all for me. This is my last year of giving Flyers grief. I got shit from about the Sixers for 3 years until they started finally winning in their fourth year. Nothing great, but they kind of started the trajectory up. So I'm giving it – this is my last year of giving it grief about that. And I just don't understand how someone could say, listen, if you don't want to tank, I get it. You might wait a longer time, okay? The Houston Astros won by tanking. Oklahoma City went from Seattle. They didn't necessarily tank. This isn't a Sixers talk. This is a Flyers talk. This is an NHL talk. I just think that what has to happen is let's just have a little the patience that one gets from the Flyers fans, if that could apply to the other teams, that's what I want.
I think it's a bad comparison because I think you're giving more credit where credit is not due, because the NBA isn't designed to have the type of parity like the NFL.
Right.
NHL, you can there's enough parity where. You can flip the switch every year if you absolutely need to.
Yeah,
you can wipe the fucking slate clean and literally start over. The NBA isn't designed that way, unless you get lucky with a lottery pick or a lower out of the top 12 lottery pick. You could be stuck in NBA mediocrity, as we know, for
10 years,
a decade,
forever, right?
Fucking decade, and. You know, Boston did it, and then, wound up with some fucking blockbuster trade. I still have no idea how they pulled off.
Brooklyn, they just raped Brooklyn.
Yeah,
but the thing is, they had the old guys, the old vets to trade. That got all these pick swaps and got all these first round picks. because they had things to trade. We had shit to trade. Well, we had nothing.
No, I mean, honestly, I mean, let's be happy. We finally got one of those benchmark trade candidates back in Elton Brand.
Elton Brand? Hey, man, that, I'm going to give Elton Brand the benefit of the doubt. It's just the method in
for
which he
what?
Was hired.
Very curious.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I just think it's the people up top, on top of him that, you know, if you were going to hire Elton Brand, you could have done it in June.
You know what I think? I actually think it's all karma. You know, if Mr. Snyder wouldn't have stolen the team from the original owner, maybe he wouldn't have this bad karma. Because the only reason they won those two titles was because they beat the snot out of everybody. And that was what he did to the former owner. We can get into that story at some point in time. And actually, as the season goes on, and as the Flyers are shitty through December, which they will be, and then right towards the tail end of December, they're going to go on a 10-game winning streak. And everybody in the city is going to hop the fuck back on, and every passionate Flyers idiot fan out there is going to go, oh, my God, they're going to the Cup, they're going to the Cup, they're going to the Cup. And all of a sudden, the wind's going to literally fucking come right out of their sails, and they're going to shit the bed. Again, probably eking into the playoffs as a 7 or 8 seed, and they're going to get blown out in the first round.
Well, that could be. I hope that – I mean, that's a good expectation. And when you say shit the bed and everything like that, I think that's all a matter of
there's no leadership on this team.
No leadership.
I hear you.
Zero. How do you create it? How do you expect to get better when Drew doesn't say a word? There's no emotion from him. And it comes from the fucking coach, which you don't want to hear. But, you know, do you think Hackstall's in the back, you know, giving him shit? It seems like the most somber locker room on the planet.
It's like this SNL skit where it's like.
Plus,
it's
you like, only need one true superstar on your team that has red hair.
They consistently have someone that's got red hair.
Well, they got two.
Their leadership is like watching the first half of a depression pill commercial.
It was pathetic.
I just checked in. I watched the games. It was between that and basketball, a love story, a documentary on ESPN last night. I wasn't watching baseball. I didn't want to go to sleep that early. So I turn on the Flyers game. There were 16 minutes left in the first. They were down 2-0 and already defending a power play. I'm like, gee, what at home? San Jose's
your
a good team.
Home opener.
Yeah, your home opener.
Home opener. 8-2 loss.
With an amazing entrance by Gritty.
Gritty. I mean, if I'm going to be positive, what I would like to say is, and I don't know the whole lineup, all three lines and all the bench and all the goalies, and I don't know everybody, but I'm just hoping that they are young, and it's no excuse. You don't get blown out at home on your home opener 8-2, but like you said, I could see that kind of scenario happening. Maybe they're, you know, 12-20 December.
I'm going to enjoy this.
And then
I'm going to bet against the Flyers every game for the first 2 months.
And then they start making a little, you know, push. Maybe not 10 game unbeaten.
They'll have a 10-game unbeaten streak.
Yeah, it happened like 2 years ago too.
It happens every year.
And then they lose ten. So that's why they're on the wheel of mediocrity. Hopefully all these young guys are cornerstone pieces. But the thing is when you play young guys, you're going to lose a lot of games because they don't know what they're doing. And the only way they learn what to do is through it. And with leadership, I thought Drew should be traded 2 years ago. I thought you could get a whole lot for him. He did have his best statistical year last year. What's that really get you?
I think you can get him a fucking Uber and a ham sandwich right now because that's about as useful.
After that 8-2 loss, I do not think the Flyers will make the playoffs. I think the Gritty thing is they knew how bad they were going to be, and they just wanted cover for the rest of the season.
That's a good point. Very good
point. Love you, Flyers. Do better.
Yeah, love you, Flyers. Do better. On that note, we are going to move on to our 10-9-8 76ers, who are currently where?
Well, they're just getting back.
From where?
China. You've been waiting all day for this one,
hell
huh?
Yeah, I have. Come on. I've got four arms producing this show and trying to speak at the same time. You don't think I'm going to take advantage of a little...
Now, is this... I mean, you know where I stand on the aisle here, but it isn't Kung Fu Japanese? Or is...
I don't know. But I believe the most recent Karate Kid was Jackie Chan with Will Smith's son in Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's possible. I just think, I thought
which still technically isn't. Well, it is China now, again, since 1999. But
anyway, yeah, they were in China. Markel Fultz still remains an enigma. We got, the season opens 1 week from yesterday. They're in Boston.
And I got to be honest with everybody, Diaz took me to a game a couple of years ago. And
yeah, you see it on our cover. We met Iverson.
Yeah, and as far as production value goes, Sixers is the best game in town. 100%. There is something going on constantly, and I hope they keep that momentum. I mean, of course, you know, it's basketball, so it's the most intimate environment that you're going to have for a game, period.
You can see the players' faces. You they're can up see, close. Yeah, it's you up can close. Hear them talking.
Yeah. But, you know, during commercial breaks, there's free throw contests, and they're firing fucking hot dogs and T-shirts and spinning fire hoops and dancers and I don't know, the occasional stripper maybe come off of the pole. who knows? You never know because there's so many different things going on. It's literally like a festival the second you go to commercial break.
That's right.
And in all fairness, I mean, I believe they were using that as a tactic. You know, the Eric Cartman, oh, Cartman Land, the best rides in all the world, and you can't come. The tactic of deflecting. It's the gritty tactic.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing to watch when there's basketball. Come to see our sideline show.
Right, yeah.
They've gotten, you know, the guy that runs it, Christian, he runs their All-Star game, you know, in arena host and stuff like that. They've been honored or whatever you want to say. I don't know, recognized as being good at it. You go there, and you know, if the three of us were sitting there, I might be like, Jesus Christ, do I want to see this shit right now? But freaking kids love it. Mm-hmm. You know, parents that with kids love it. That's there for. You know, we're there to watch the game, drink a couple beers, and say things that would that our significant others wouldn't want us to hear. You know,
so Simmons, is he going to shoot this year? What's up?
I think this
did he go back to his right hand yet?
No, he did not do that. I think this is a measured take, which is everyone's going to hate because what the fuck? We're never going to win if he doesn't take shots. I get it. I think what you're going to see is what I'd like to see from Simmons, which is what I need this year, is he's got to do better at foul shooting. Now, that's fine. Okay,
that goes right to what we're talking about. Right.
But, like, you know, the jump shooting and the three-point shooting, I don't know if you're going to see a whole lot of that. I think the foul shooting is something you definitely need to see, especially if he's going to be playing down low and with mismatches and driving to the hoop. Like, you have to shoot. If he could get over 65%, I mean, that would be awesome. I don't know if that's a big stretch for him, but he's got to shoot better in general. But you know, if he can hit 65% from the free throw line, I think in his second year he should be better in all aspects. I've only saw the clips from China because it was all at like 8 o'clock in the morning. But his defense, I mean, he was really, really aggressive on the defensive end, which, you know, you can – that would just – to be – they were the top three defensive team last year. If you could improve on that, I mean, Jesus, that would be awesome.
And I don't pay nearly enough attention to the Sixers as you do. There's talk now of Redick coming off the bench, so that means we're putting up with – you know, Covington in the starting lineup and not putting up with Saric. I'm glad to see that. Embiid, Simmons, who's your...
Fultz.
Oh, Fultz is slotted as your starter.
Yeah, and results have been mixed. We'll see how this goes. He Fultz is actually, what I will say, and you saw this at the end of last year, he's a really good defender. I mean, if he could turn out to be a somewhat reliable three-point guy. I'm just saying somewhat below average.
I'm just thinking of a somewhat first-round draft pick that really somewhat should be better than
Murray.
I hear you,
Mr. Flyers fan, but he's 20 years old, and he will get better. And whether it would have been better to – at this point, it's fair to say it would have been better to keep the pick at three And you might have even gotten Fultz there if Boston was – they say Boston was going to take Tatum at
right,
one.
Right, right, right.
Okay. Maybe. But no one else – no one on their big boards was projecting Tatum over Fultz. I didn't see it one place. People might have preferred Lonzo Ball over Fultz, but I didn't see that during that season. So maybe not, but – at this point, the trade obviously looks like it was not a good trade. Fultz was a legitimate, and he was the consensus number one overall pick. He was. It wasn't like they don't know what they're doing. This is an Anthony Bennett. This is a Marcus Smith. What the fuck? This is bullshit. No. Markelle Fultz was rated as the top player, a little bit higher than Ball. It's always a crapshoot. It doesn't look good right now, but. If he could just get to a point this season, and this is so small and people are going to hate this, but if he could just get to a point where he takes threes to a point that defenders have to honor it and have to go out on him, we saw it last year with Simmons, they'll just let him out in the three-point lane or three-point arc. No one's going to go out to defend Simmons when he's out there because he's not going to shoot it. If you get to a point where Fultz can start going 2-for-5, 1-for-3 during games – it's nothing great. Well, 2-for-5 would be pretty great, but just to get that threat to spread out the defense a little bit, then you can have Simmons cutting in, and everything else would open up. I love Covington. Covington's always going to be in the starting lineup. He is. He just is. Dario would be the first one to sit in that little group. I think that Brett Brown said this week that if we start Fultz, Redick will probably start the second half. If that's the case, then you're just trying to incorporate your first round pick and, trying to get him in there.
You're trying to ease the blow.
Right. You're trying to ease the blow a little bit. I don't know what's the right move, and that's why they play the games. It might be better to see Fultz, go attack the second team.
You have high hopes for the Sixers this season.
I
think everybody does.
I have high hopes in that I think that if they do not finish as a top three team in the East, I would be disappointed.
I think you still have. Well, I don't. What moves did Toronto make?
They got Kawhi.
They got Kawhi. So.
Yeah, they had us. They won 60 games last or 59
yeah,
games.
Toronto's probably.
Toronto or Boston. Toronto's good. Yeah, Toronto's no joke.
No.
But what happens during the season is injuries. Injuries pop up. For as great as the Celtics were or are, we finished two games behind them. Now they had injuries, but. Embiid didn't play the last 12 games of the year. So if Embiid never stays healthy, Gordon Hayward's coming back. How's that going to work? I think the Celtics are right now, I would go Celtics, Raptors, Sixers.
You're going to take Celtics over Raptors with Kawhi.
That's
a ballsy move, man. I get it. I get, who was injured for Boston?
Kyrie. And Gordon Hayward.
Wow, that's interesting. Those two are going to be neck and neck till the end of the season if both teams stay somewhat healthy.
Right, and I think
didn't the Raptors finish first?
Yeah,
I mean, and they added Kawhi, so
right.
It would be reasonable to think they'll finish first again. They might need to perform a little bit better in the playoffs because they got ousted in the first round, right?
Yeah, by LeBron. That's what you get, LeBron. We finished third. Cleveland finished a game behind us at fourth. So, I think, though, Boston might be a little deeper than Toronto. Toronto might have more top-end side, but that's why they play the games. We'll see.
This is true.
Injuries.
Yep.
Watch
yep.
out.
Well, we're going to go to a little bit of a break here. One song. We're going to wash down some beer and come back with all Eagles talk. We'll be right back on the DQ Sports. All right, everybody. We're back. Episode 7 of the DQ Sports Blizzard. This segment brought to you by our good friends at Bourbon Blue in Manayunk and Barnaby's in Westchester. If you guys are in either one of those areas or not, make it a point to get out there and patronize some of our sponsors. All right, boys. I kind of wanted to cue this thing up a little bit before, but I'm using the same computer for both our intro songs and all of our sound drops. And I might just play a couple seconds of it just to get you amped up about it and go from here.
I'm going to take a second to talk to you about underdogs.
That might be all we need to go into right now, because the rest of the speech we all know about. We've heard it. We love it. I love the speech, even though I make fun of Jason Kelce for bringing a soccer song into our Eagles environment. But let's go over some points of Jason Kelce's speech, shall we?
Yeah.
A couple bullet points.
Sure, that sounds good.
We're going to go in order. What do you start with? Rex, then to me, then to you. Let's just go down. What do we got?
Doug can't coach.
Aguilar can't catch.
Alshon always hurt.
Lane can't block without the juice.
Mills is too slow.
Ajayi can't stay healthy.
Ertz isn't tough enough.
And Peters is too goddamn old. Well, be careful what you ask for, Philadelphia, because, I mean, the Ertz thing is actually pretty interesting, because O'Neal brought this to our attention last night. I wasn't even paying. Ertz has 42 receptions on the year already for over 450 yards, which is
a career, or it's a record year.
It's right now, it looks record like pace. It could be a record tight end season, going slightly unnoticed because he only has one touchdown, which, you know, how, A, does that happen? But,
well, also, he's got how many fucking drops? You know, that's the thing. He's got four or five drops. The way that they honor or evaluate drops, I mean, you know, I think fans are way more critical than real drops. I mean, drops for them are, you know, like Eric Ebron the other day, last Thursday, when he just, like, ball was in his hands and fell out. Sometimes it's like, you could have kind of could have made a play better on that, you know, whatever. But, I mean, Ertz had three drops in the game, I think.
Well, I don't know what that is. We're not going to get into
The ball's also going to Goddard, so we're actually using him, too. It's not like Ertz is getting...
Okay, enough about tight ends. Okay. All right, moving on. Guys, BBD, Big Balls Doug, what do we think so far? We're over a quarter of the way through the season. What kind of grade do you give him?
B.
You're going to give him a B?
Yes.
Interesting. Don't just tell me the grade. Tell me why.
So I one thing he did on the game this Sunday is that he wasted two timeouts, which is going to always come back to me and all the Andy Reid years with the wasted timeouts and the poor play. But right now, it's too easy to blame Doug when the players aren't performing on the field.
I'm going to go with a B minus. I think that we're going to get into this, but you got to run the ball. The offensive line, I never played football. We said this last week. I said this last week on this show. If the offensive line is having a hard time pass blocking and you're passing 60 times a game, how about you have them punch someone in the face and run the ball a little bit? We have a good running team.
We have a good running team, but we don't have a good running back right now.
Right now we don't. Right now we do not. That's another issue.
And you know what? I don't want to be redundant on my own show. But
I always am.
LeGarrette Blount. I don't want to say it.
LeGarrette Blount is buried in Detroit.
LeGarrette Blount would be running up and down the field for us right now. Absolutely. If he was playing.
Maybe. I don't know. LeGarrette Blount had two good games for us last year. I mean, two standout games. Let me go back on that. Let's move on.
We're not talking about LeGarrette Blount right now. We're just saying he is missed on this team.
That
right now.
Role is missed. I don't know if it.
Who else is going to fill it?
I don't know.
You didn't replace that role with Jay Ajayi. I'm sorry. He's not that kind of runner. All right. But that creates a much murkier scene when now, because of injuries, Darren Sproles, happy that you came back, but you've been fucking useless.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hate to say it, but where are you?
The other thing I wanted to point out is...
You're interrupting.
The Rex interruption.
The Rex interruption.
The Rex interruption.
All right. Smallwood's been your best running back. Oh, my God. I just said it. Wendell Smallwood has been your best running back. Clement can't stay on the field, which sucks. Don't understand that. But here's the problem, then, and we need to ask this question right now because it's worth a good portion of this show. You've heard the rumors.
Oh, boy.
All right, of Le'Veon Bell. We talked about that last week. Then we hear David Johnson. Now we even hear Shady McCoy.
Fuck that.
Is possible. as part of a trade at this point in the season. All right, you're one game away from being in a hole that's going to be difficult to come out of. All right, you have to win in New York tomorrow, and the Giants stink, but it never fucking matters when it comes to this matchup. It doesn't matter if a team is bad, awful, excellent, Super Bowl, last place. It's a fucking game every time.
Yep.
Is this team, and Rex and I talked about this a little bit last night on the show, is this team, is it even worth what you're going to have to mortgage at this point to go out and get a running back? Is that enough to salvage where we are right now? Now, it's not, we're not a critical mass. You know, we're not at DEFCON 5 right now, but we're DEFCON 3.9. You know, it's there. And if they can't figure out a way to beat the Giants, if they start off slow tomorrow, if they give the Giants any bit of momentum whatsoever, they're not going to win. All right? Because they do have a running back up there that can control the clock and can control a bit of the game. So the question is, and I'm going to go to Rex on this one first because I know we have had some discussions about this already. David Johnson, him coming over here, he just signed one of the most lucrative contracts for a running back, I think, ever. As he, you know, he broke his wrist last year, kept him out the entire season, but that didn't hurt his legs. You know, after coming off a campaign the year before, which was, you know, relatively priceless in as far as running backs go. Now he's behind a team that sucks right now, and Sammy Sleeves is at the helm, but. You know, is this a guy you want to – it goes past the Howie-isms and what Howie is trying to do with running backs. He doesn't want to spend a lot for running backs, as he shouldn't, because we found out that really doesn't help us in the long run. Now, Le'Veon Bell, I could see that, because if all you have to give up is a third-round pick to get Bell for a rental for the rest of the season, I say done. But – now we're talking about David Johnson. Now we're talking about Shady McCoy. Rex, thoughts?
So the one thing about I'm not exactly sure where the Eagles are financially, but I don't know what they would have to – can we afford a guy like Le'Veon Bell? I don't know if we should be risking all of those finances to just
try to sell. You're not risking finances on Bell this year.
Well,
you have to a little bit.
You get – right, they restructured Fletcher's deal. They just basically moved salary into a bonus that they can spread out for the life of his contract. So they freed up like $6.3 million this year in cap space that can be used this year.
They have to get rid of Foles or a Graham to make it happen.
Well, they're right about it, like 10 and change. Okay, so the way I understand it is that for Bell for this year, the prorated portion, if he came back it's not going to happen, obviously, we have a game tomorrow. So let's say over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, with the bye, you know, we have a 10-day layoff. Pittsburgh has a bye week this week. So he was expected to report this week, so he gets paid for week 7.
Yes.
But I think that his franchise tag is like $14 million. So it's a little less than $1,000 a week, maybe $800,000 a week. So long story short, if we trade him for 10 weeks, we're right up about the limit that we are right now. And they always kind of keep that free for guys that go on IR and you have to sign practice squad players. So it's possible. It's not really ideal to have no cap space, even though, you know, there's not a whole lot that you're going to be doing right now. But then he would be, you know, off your books at the end of the year.
So the other thing about the Le'Veon Bell trade is that he's not – I don't know if he's the big back that, you know, as we pointed out last week, I don't know if that's the big back that we should be going after, because he's not a big back.
Well, the thing is, too,
make a long story short, but, you know, to make a long story short.
So anyway, long story short.
Why do people say long story short? They're not making it short, Stan.
Yo, listen, listen. When I say that, that's all about mic control. It's all about mic control. I want the control of the show. It's mic control.
Rob is screaming.
It's
from
Mike Diaz control.
Mike Diaz control. Now, Rex, we got into this last week over at the Druids Keep here. It doesn't have to be a big back. You want a big back. So you want a big back. It doesn't have to be a big back.
This is the other thing I was learning today is that Wendell Smallwood is averaging 6 yards a carry, and Jay Ajayi, who now is gone, was averaging 4. So do you think our running game would not appear to be as bad as it appears to be if they would just simply run the ball more?
Run the ball more.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing. And the Giants give up, like, 5 yards a carry right now. The Giants' run defense is, I don't know, worst in the league, third worst in the league. They have to run the ball.
But you're going to put the better part of the offense in the hands of Wendell Smallwood
now.
I
know. That, and it's like, so if only we had a running back.
The other thing I need to point out is that Josh Adams, what is he, 240 pounds?
I don't know. I apparently embellished whenever it comes to a running back.
He had one carry for negative 1 yards. That guy needs to start running the ball his hair's on fire.
I think he's the slowest running back that they have. But that's another thing with your big guy.
That's why he was on the practice squad, bro. Yeah, he wasn't slotted to – he's only 225.
That's a big back.
That's a Corey Clement.
Is it Corey? Didn't we do this last week?
Yeah, Corey Clement was 220 like and Smallwood's 208.
Oh, boy.
Clement, we need that guy to be pumping through the line at 245. Like, there's no backs that are 240. They're not. They don't exist.
It's about time you called in, you piece of shit.
Oh, is this the point in the show where Captain tells me I'm wrong about everything I just talked about the last hour?
Captain, how are you, sir? Oh.
I am outstanding. Listen, the world is undefended right now as I talk on the phone with you two jackwagons.
He's obviously referring to you, Quimby, and you, Rex. Not me. I'm golden.
With you, Diaz, I cannot say that you are wrong because these three losses have proved that I know nothing about the Eagles or sports. So,
Diaz is the only one holding strong that he still knows something, which... You know, we're going to find out that in a couple on our next segment that he did not win last week's football pool.
Yeah, everyone was wrong. Everybody was talking about they were going to score in the 30s. Yeah, that when Cap, you turn it over.
Cap, this is an interesting concept we're on right now, and I'd love your take on this. As with the team's current level of play, and in all fairness, being one game away from digging a hole for yourself you might not be able to come out of.
Right.
Do you even think we should be making a move for a big-time running back like it appears Howie is trying to accomplish?
Well, if we look at Carson Hitz, like the beating he took this time last year and the defense getting burned, all that stuff was true last year. The difference was we were scoring points. So I can't – like, the defense played well. I can't – we need to score points. So if you get me something to help me do that, I think that makes a difference. And if we're doing that, we win those last two games, and nobody's complaining.
Okay. So, example, what if we pulled a David Johnson? A guy who just got signed to a very lucrative running back contract.
It
was over the summer, yeah.
Because it was before Gurley signed. I know they were trying to compare it, yeah.
Now you're away from the foundation of the way Howie wants to build his team, which is to not spend money on running backs. And how do you feel about that? Because if we try to get a David Johnson, if we try to keep Bell after a one-year rental, you know, players are going to have to go. Brandon Graham is probably the first one, and Nick Foles is immediately following his coattails.
Right. So,
that was a given anyway, though.
So how do you feel about that?
So I got lots on that. Really what I said is we needed to send a plane, an apology, and a check to Detroit and get LeGarrette Blount.
What's with these old guys and LeGarrette Blount?
Yes, thank you.
No, we shouldn't have got rid of him in the first place. 100%. And we wouldn't be in this mess.
100%. Thank you.
So that aside, really what we're talking about is recognizing the window we have with the talent that we have. And the fact that we are down a little bit or a lot at this point doesn't really matter because the NFC East is so bad. But we've got to get cracking. I was doing the math, dude. Tomorrow is a must win.
Yes,
we need
100%
to 9-7 probably wins the division, but we need to be 10-6 where we host a home wild card and hope that we have our ship together where you can get on the road and have a chance to win. But none of that happens because, look, we got three road games that right today are unwinnable. L.A.,
New Orleans,
London, and
New Orleans.
With New Orleans, those are unwinnable as the team is constructed and playing right now, which gives you, which is already six losses. So now, fuck, winning on the road in New York, that means sweeping the division, which is hard enough. And oh, by the way, you got to win at home against Carolina and at the end of the year, Houston. So you could be looking at 4-12.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Jeez. Captain.
Yeah, wait. You're
Wow, Captain.
Cap has turned the corner already. Wow.
No. So if you were in a loss, no, that's a real thing. So to get back to your point about do I want to make a move for a running back, absolutely. But that's where good teams adjust with what they do. So Howie has this conversation with Doug, and Doug has this conversation with the team, and you reinforce our objective is to win as a team. If our methods change, okay. But I think everyone recognizes that something is missing.
Yeah.
And agreed. As much as I like Corey Clement, he's about as injuries prone as Ajayi. So you can't depend on him being a feature back.
Isn't that crazy?
Gave us.
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy going into the season and you're going, wow, we've got Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles coming back. And now the three of them put together are as useless as a fucking ice cream cone.
Now, I mean, this is real life, not fantasy, but this is why running backs just in fantasy are so highly valued, and in reality, they're the except for what, punters or kickers, they're the lowest paid in the league because they just don't last. These players are
excellent analysis, Diaz.
These players
Did you hear that? That was an excellent analysis, Diaz, coming from Captain.
Yeah, wow.
That's fucking right. That's good stuff.
It's just they don't last, and that's why. And it's not that David Johnson or Todd Gurley or Le'Veon Bell aren't worth that money when they're on the field. They're worth that money,
right?
100%.
But David Johnson, I can't have you for $14 million for 9% of my team's cap. If you know you get tackled and you break your wrist, I love you. He's great, but they just get hit. They just get hit more. You know that's how it goes.
And you got to wonder about Le'Veon Bell coming off of how many carries he had,
which is the whole reason
last year.
Which is the whole reason
he's
sitting
out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. So
and I have not read anything today, so I don't know what has or hasn't happened, but I think we can all agree that something has to happen.
Yeah.
So however you do that, there has to be a first-team running back to make this offense work.
Yeah, we're at a weird situation right now this week with the Giants having just a terrible run defense, with everyone here in agreement that we need to run the ball more, that Doug's getting questioned about his run-pass distribution, and we have no running back.
And we get to watch a full dose of Wendell Smallwood tomorrow.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Hold on 1 second. Don't go anywhere. Hold on.
It's okay. I don't know what he's doing right now, but we're going to keep moving on.
One thing I wanted to point out is that the Giants, on paper, are not that much worse than us.
Oh, I know.
So anyone that thinks that the Giants stink and we're going to walk in there and walk out with a win, that is not a guarantee.
We're not too much better than them.
We
have a magic potion, though.
What's that?
Eli Manning plays for the Giants. And Eli Manning is terrible.
That is the elixir.
Yeah. So that always
if they
works.
Can, if they can get any amount of...
I missed the last 20 seconds. Were we worried about...
Don't come into the conversation fucking interrupting everybody.
Hey, Captain, I got a question for you. It's very important. Are you coming to our viewing party tomorrow?
No, dickhead.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you're talking 4-12. Captain, I can't have you defending our nation feeling all sad. I need to give you a hug, man.
Yeah,
it's going to be better, dude. It's going to be better.
I said we could be, and none of you can freaking out of hand dismiss that if something doesn't change.
All right, well, let's talk about a little bit more change and something else that does need to take place, and that's we're going to move on to the next topic here, which is the offensive line, and I can't wait to hear you two go at it right now, and I'm pointing to Diaz and Rex. Captain, I'm going to get your opinion on the O-line right now, and then we're going to hang up with you, and then I'm going to let these two argue it out, because the three of you arguing it out is never going to work all at the same time. All right, so, Cap, talk to us, man. We're talking about Jason Kelce's speech, and Peters was, what, 6 minutes early on that one play? And he's the one he's the one in the locker room saying, we gotta tighten things up. And of course, Jason Kelce's speech, Lane can't block without the juice.
Yep.
I don't know. Your bookends have not looked very, very good at all. And then our boy, the Samoan Nightmare, in the first quarter. Isn't he Samoan?
Yeah.
He basically parted the Red Sea for a massive sack on
15-yard loss.
How much?
15-yard loss.
15-yard loss, yeah.
LOL, so, massive sack.
Massive sack. I didn't know we were talking about Stanker on the show.
Oh, yeah. There you go, dog.
But, Cap, talk to us. What do you think?
Yes, yes, and yes. All true. I'd have to believe I'm less concerned with the offensive line because they can't continue to play that badly. And we have talented people out there. I've got to think that they really didn't have a good, and I hate that I'm about to say this, but they didn't have a good offseason. Like, whatever we were doing in there wasn't working because
they're partying their ass off.
Yeah. So, and I can't blame them. Like, I'm not mad at them for
it.
Because quite
neither
frankly, I would have been the Ovechkin of celebration. So, I'm not mad at them at all.
That is an amazing comparison, considering you're black as night and Ovechkin's as white as a ghost.
Well, and I don't ice skate, but yeah.
Or drink.
So then there's that. But yes, I'm not really worried about that. And I miss the game tomorrow, but one thing I will say is this. Diaz, again, is right. They've got Eli, but more importantly, they're the fucking Giants. They're bad. So it's going to rain all day tomorrow. That's advantage Eagles.
That's right. So, it is supposed to be a shitful day tomorrow.
To be the aftermath of that hurricane coming up.
Is that moving that fast?
Yes. Hurricane Michael.
Wow.
Yeah, and literally, so you guys were joking. I was joking about defending freedom. I was supposed to be the National Guard liaison in Florida for the fucking hurricane.
But they didn't like the way you said liaison, and they told you to go back to the desk?
Pretty much. Well, no, they knew that I was out of the office for the next 2 days, and that's not helpful in monitoring a hurricane because that doesn't work on your football schedule.
No, it doesn't. Cap.
So, but I will hang up and listen, gents. I just wanted to give a jangle as I was able because love you guys.
I'm gonna miss the hell out of you because I'm not gonna see you Sunday in Carolina. I'm already gonna be in London by then, so I will catch you across the pond in a few weeks, brother.
Okay. So who's in charge of the freaking tailgate?
Jeremy.
Yes.
Oh. Skated
through that
competent.
One.
Yep. All right.
It certainly isn't fucking Diaz, that's for sure.
Hey, look, so I was all jacked up, man. I didn't get to the stadium till like 3 o'clock. It was miserable.
Yeah.
So that's why I missed you. But be safe, my friend.
It was a great weekend. It was a great Sunday, man.
Cap, we appreciate you calling in as always, brother. We'll see you soon.
See you, Cap.
Good talking to you.
All right, love you. All right, you two. Go at it.
What do you mean, go at it?
Well, you two were getting at Druids last week while I'm playing
Golden Tee for us because we're terrible.
You guys were just going for fucking broke.
We were talking about the fucking dumb big running back that we were supposed. That's the missing point. And I'm like, it's not the missing point. It's not. I was blaming the offensive line.
You're in charge.
All right. Oh, you hear that? I'm in charge of the show. Uh-oh. I got mic control.
Long story short,
not in charge of the tailgates. Don't put me in charge of the tailgates. I'm having too much good time. You know what I'm saying? Good cheer. But it's the offensive line has not been playing well.
No, they haven't.
But to be fair, no one's been playing well. No one's been playing well. Carson's been playing good. He's been playing pretty good. His numbers are better than last year's numbers for his first three games, stats-wise. You know, the fumbles are an issue, but you know, Carson Wentz doesn't fumble when he's not getting hit in the head and getting his arm, you know, strip sacked.
Yeah, but one of my biggest problems with Carson this year is that he's holding on to the ball too long. So it's easy to blame the offensive line for not playing well if he's getting sacked or hurried. But when you're camped out back there for that long and you get sacked or hurried or whatever, thrown to the ground, you can't blame the offensive line. Are the receivers not open? Or is Carson not able to just get rid of the ball? I mean, like he had an intentional grounding called on him.
Right.
This past Sunday.
Now that's
that was a stupid penalty. Just take the sack, man.
I hear you, but I hear you. Okay, I hear you. And I don't have a breakdown. You said you watched the game again today in preparation for this to probably try and dominate me on this conversation.
I just wanted to be able to contribute.
Well, yeah. I mean, you contribute with your interruptions every show. That's good.
There we go again.
That's good enough. But I'm saying. My point is on the whole deal is I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Is Carson holding it a little bit too long? Probably. Are the receivers getting open as easily as they did before? Probably not. Is the offensive line holding too long to let Carson try and make a play? And Carson's just holding it on. I think it's more they're stunting the offensive line. Ways that they probably haven't seen before or haven't prepared. They just don't look in sync. They don't look connected. They don't look like a one unit. They look like a bunch of individual guys dealing with individual, you know, looks and stuff like that. So
the other thing
is he holding it too long? He's probably holding it a little too long on some of the plays. He's trying to make a play. An intentional grounding is a bad play. He's been sacked more in his first three games or whatever than he has all of last year. And you're saying don't hold on to the ball too long, but also don't throw it away intentionally grounding. You know, it's not like he was like, I'm going to take this intentionally grounding play. He's trying to like cover it up, you know?
One of the other biggest weaknesses of Smallwood is that his blocking is atrocious on passing. And Carson got hit one time. He did get it completed. I think it was to Aguilar. But, hey, Smallwood, you got to fucking throw your body in front of this guy that's running unblocked, full speed, at your quarterback. You got to throw your body out there. And that's one of his biggest weaknesses, is that he has no business being back there on a passing play if he's not going to run a route. Because his blocking is awful.
The problem is, at this point now, I mean, if Clement's coming back, I don't see an update. Is he playing for sure this week?
He's supposed to play.
Okay. That's good
Barnett's
news.
Barnett's supposed to come back, too.
Yeah, I saw Barnett was a full participant. But, you know, or else you have Josh Adams, who was undrafted for a reason. Now, running backs aren't, quote-unquote, my quotey fingers, aren't supposed to be taken in the first round anymore because, you know, because of the value that you get in first round, you look for other positions. But they don't get taken. They're not all undrafted.
You have Wendell Smallwood not blocking for your franchise quarterback.
You're right. But Wendell Smallwood is also not a good player. he is what he is. He's a replacement level running back.
He had a number of key receptions yesterday, and he's averaging 6 yards a carry. So let's not badmouth him too much on his
ability. No, I'm not badmouthing him. When I say he's not a good player, what I'm saying is the expectation. Like he's an average running back. That's why no one jumped at the chance to draft. He's average. He's not terrible. He's not the worst guy in the world, but he's not anything special. He's replacement level. He's not good. A good running back is good at – Corey Clement is a good running back. Now, is he great? Is he a transcendent guy? No, he's not. But he's good. he makes plays, I trust him a little bit more than I trust Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah, me too.
So
the other thing about the offensive line, if you wanted to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Samalo?
Isaac Samalo.
And you mentioned that how the offensive line didn't look cohesive.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe I should have been watching it closer, but, you know, Wisniewski got benched for him, and he was awful.
Yeah, there was that. I don't know what's going on. This is one of the things, like the drama behind sports and everything. You just kind of want to know. I just want to know, like, what was really going on. Wisniewski last week said, you know, he had theories and rumors, and he's a Christian, so he won't say anything. But he doesn't think that the benching was anything to do with his play. He has been graded out well from those that grade out offensive linemen.
What do you think?
He tweeted this out. You know,
what do you think he was alluding to, though?
I think, which is true, even last year he was the best guard in camp, and they tried giving the position to Samalu, and that didn't work out in game one. And then they put Chance Warmack in, and that didn't really work.
Yep.
And then they put Stefan Wisniewski in, and they ended up being the best offensive line in the league. So, you know, when you're trying to shake stuff up, like, so who?
So you think that was? You think they were trying to bench him like they benched Aguilar?
I'm not.
Where it was like a healthy cut?
I'm not. I'm not saying that that's what happened. But that's what the talk of the town was the last week or so about, why are we doing that? You know, what's going on? And so who are you going to bench? Are you going to bench All-Pro Brandon Brooks?
Nope.
Are you going to bench your right tackle who is an All-Pro? Or your left tackle is probably going to the Hall of Fame? Probably, most likely. Or your center who makes all the calls? Who are you going to bench if you're going to? But yeah. How are you going to shake it up? If you need to shake it up, how are you going to shake it up? And that's why I think Wisniewski said those things. It could be that it just seems that they're really not heavily invested in Wisniewski in draft, in salary, in I don't even know. I don't know. It sounds like for him they're not sold on Stefan Wisniewski, even though he performed fine. It's all of those guys.
I didn't really think that he was – but maybe it's a good point that you're making that
– Yeah, I didn't think so.
He's the only guy that you could bench.
Right, yeah. Who else are you going
to – But at the same time, like, I don't think he was like – if I was to point one person out, it wouldn't have been him as far as why the O-line hasn't performed nearly as well as they did last year.
I mean, right now, let's just – if we compared it, we can't because Ajayi's hurt and Sproles isn't playing. But if we were going with Ajayi, Sproles – Wendell Smallwood or Josh Adams, who are you going to sit? You know, like you're looking at the offensive line, and I don't know if sitting someone is the right is the message you want to do. How about you guys get on the same page? Let's tighten up. Yeah. Lane Johnson looks what it is? It's mental farts. That's what it's been. It's mental farts with this offensive line.
So the biggest momentum change in that game, as far as I'm concerned, was when the fumble by Carson. That was the guy that Lane Johnson was blocking, and he came back almost like Lane wasn't even fucking there, like he was a revolving door. And that changed the whole momentum of the game because at that point, I believe the Eagles had held them to two missed field goals and a field goal and one punt. So we were still in the game at that point, but that to me changed the whole momentum of the game. And we never really recovered until we finally fucking woke up in the fourth quarter.
You know what I think? I really just wish Marcus Smith was back on this team.
Yeah, what's up with Marcus Smith? I see this on our – by the way, this is a professional show. We got a rundown sheet here. And this isn't like three items. We got
Seattle cut him before the season after giving him like a pretty – not lucrative contract, but better than league minimum – contract, and they wouldn't even go into reasons why. Pete Carroll simply said, it's personal. Kind of not personal, like personal reasons for Marcus Smith, I believe.
Oh.
And I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, thinking of all the draft picks and how he's made over the course of his tenure as general manager, and, you know, all of them have been O-line or D, over D-line, with the exception of Well, Aguilar, but that was technically Chip Kelly. Yeah. And I'm thinking Marcus Smith, and I'm like, where did anybody actually pick up that slop? And Seattle actually did. Seattle expected him to actually contribute a lot to their defense, and I think they cut him in mid-August or something.
Well,
like that.
A lot of that stuff too. It's almost like when Corey Coleman, the receiver from Cleveland, who had a good college career, Baylor, and they let him go, and then he got picked up by Buffalo, and Buffalo let him go, and then I think he went to New England, and then New England let him go. I mean, when you get that first round pedigree, someone's always going to take a shot on you. I mean, look at our boy Okafor. You know what I mean? So
I really just wanted to make a shirt that said, "Where's Marcus Smith?"
Yeah. See, okay. I like to design shirts that people want to buy. I mean, you could design the shirt that Marcus Smith, but you design it and you got to wear it for a month. How about that? You got to wear it every day in London.
I don't have a problem with that.
All right. There we go. Where's Marcus Smith?
Where is Marcus Smith?
We're searching for drops now, or is that what's going on?
No, we're not. We're going to go to a break here in a second. We've been on for about 40 minutes. We might take a 2-song break here, but we'll be back on the DQ Sports Blizzard in a few minutes.
Boom.
Oh, episode 7 of the DQ Sports Blizzard. That's the Diaz and Quimby Sports Blizzard, not to be confused with anything DQ or Dairy Queen. We don't feel like getting that cease and desist letter just yet.
No, thank you.
Especially from Warren Buffett. He's got deep pockets.
This final segment is going to be brought to you by our good friends at 422 Jeep Limerick. Our favorite line about 422 Jeep Limerick. You go in and you ask for Mike McVeigh. He might talk to you himself. He might put you in touch with one of his fantastic salespeople. And you're going to talk sports. You're going to talk sports for about 20 minutes. And then you're going to spend $40,000 on a Jeep. And you're going to walk out happier than you've ever had with any other car purchasing experience prior. And, of course, also to our good friend Kenny Hutchings. Pat Pavlicek, Brian Pavlicek, all the Pavlicek's with Cavanaugh's Restaurants, Riverdeck, Head House, Rittenhouse, and, of course, our good friends up at the University City location at 39th and Sansom. Guys, we're not on the tail end of the show here, but we're probably only about, I don't know, 20 minutes left here. We're going to try to keep it to that. I have something I want to bring up. It segues perfectly into the game this week, and it's a massive concern. And you heard me last week bitching about officiating, and this week it became hit home for us. How to the NFL in New York? How in the ever loving fuck can you call roughing the passer on Michael Bennett for that sack? He started up at his ass, and he gently held on to him as he fell, as Cousins fell. That penalty gave him the 11 yard line, went well into the red zone. They would have been third and long. 14 from the 31 or something like that. That play ultimately ended up in a touchdown, and if you want to talk about the score at the end of the game, it was 23-21. Where? Nobody fucking understands it. It's terrible.
I think it's the other way around.
I disagree, and I only say disagree because I wasn't done yet. You didn't raise your hand long enough. Players are confused, and while players are confused, here. More so to the point, this new way of calling roughing the passer, and you guys can see this down here, on your marquee players in the league.
Marquee spelled great, too, by the way.
Did I do it right?
No, but it's okay. We can.
Okay.
They can't hear.
On your marquee players in the league. Now you're finally worried about your marquee players? You know, because the league hasn't been successful through the Brett Favre and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady era when they go down. You're going to protect them now. But now the way you're calling these fucking games, you're changing the outcome. You are legitimately changing the outcome of the game. And we saw that firsthand on Sunday. Players have to be frustrated. That was the longest fucking boo I've heard in Philadelphia in a long time. Deserved. And that fuck of a referee defended himself after the game. Go.
I was going to say that the so-called experts on the rules can't even agree if it was a good call.
It was a bad call. He hit him in
it
the ass.
It was a bad call, but the so-called experts can't agree.
I agree with all this. I think that, though, they're going to call it every time.
No, I disagree.
They are, and I think I did hear the experts that don't agree on it, but what will happen is I think when it gets for a referee where New York will
it's got to go to replay.
Not only that, but
it has to go to replay.
That but wouldn't be a bad that would
for
a
something
bad
as questionable as that, it has to go to replay.
The other thing is that there has to be something where it's the referee's discretion, like where he has to look at that and go, you
they're
know
not going
to
do that.
That was a bad call.
That's not the and, whole league, though.
And it's just like Malcolm Jenkins. He goes, I don't know what to tell Mike. He doesn't know what to tell him to do differently. He can't do anything different.
I believe it was the head official that made the call on that. So he's going to defend himself one way or the other. You know, he can't go back on what he called. He can't pick up that flag.
He should have made a statement anyway.
It's brutal. Now, in that same, first of all, Michael Bennett, nice to see you getting off your ass, because I want angry black. I want angry Michael Bennett.
Yes,
I do.
There we go. We're only
whatever,
an hour and a half in.
Whatever, man. I do. I want angry black on the field with Michael Bennett. I want that awful haircut and that scraggly fucking beard and somebody that just looked like he came out of a cabin in the woods.
And no shoulder pads.
No shoulder pads, yeah. What the fuck do I need these for?
Yeah, right.
But there he goes, and the guy finally has a chance to make an impact on a game, our biggest move in the offseason, and he gets flagged for something ridiculous.
Some bullshit.
Ridiculous. So now, here's the question. Why is the NFL finally deciding that it's time to protect their marquee players? I mean, if that's the way we're going, I mean, let's just put a fucking red shirt on them.
Right. It could go that way. And that's, in the extreme version, it's real easy. First off, the NFL is run by a bunch of old white dudes, okay? They don't get it. They're not cool. They're not hip. And they finally let celebrations last year, which is ridiculous because they should have been allowing them the whole time. Fans love it. Some fans don't, and they're loud.
As long as they're reasonable.
Well,
like guy, who's the guy that was on the Jets? He was fine for like acting like he was pulling down his pants or something like that.
Oh,
that's ridiculous.
No, Isaiah Crowe, wiping that's his ridiculous. Ass. Yeah, that's dumb.
I thought it was awesome.
Well, of course you did.
No,
Quimby
I thought it was, I even said on Facebook I didn't think that was appropriate.
I think what happens is the quarterbacks are the stars. Deshaun Watson was a highlight last year. He's out. Aaron Rodgers is, the best quarterback in the league. I use all caps when I say that. Those are quotes, but for the people listening at home, he's out for the season. They can't have these. They can't promote Packers Texans Thursday night Monday night football. If we knew that the Packers were toast last year, we knew because Aaron Rodgers cannot get hurt. Carson Wentz. Now I see even on here Carson Wentz got hit in the head last week in Tennessee. It was a missed call. They all agreed it was a missed call. It was bad they didn't call it. But you're going down. He did not go down low. He got pushed. Bennett got pushed into
That's it. No, he was getting
he made
pushed.
The tackle yeah. On his ass
and then he came down and he did everything he could. But I think what'll happen and this is not I'm not I'm paying debt.
That's what I mean about discretion. The ref has to show discretion.
You can't have discretion because they don't have discretion on what a catch is. They're not going to have discretion on a foul. They don't have discretion. Everything is written out in the rule book. And I think what will happen is, and I'm playing devil's advocate, I don't agree with these calls. I don't agree with it. I'm not happy about them. But I think what will happen is, what do the players need to do? I don't know. You know what? You either don't tackle him or accept the penalty.
So
that's what they're going to have to
honestly,
do.
That,
it sucks.
That was another game-changing play.
It sucks. But
I already said it. You can't tell him to do anything differently next time.
You can tell him not to leave his feet and fall down. You can tackle. What you tell him is he tackles him in his chest area.
Or when a tight end's blocking, you fucking run right through him twice as hard from now on.
Right. I mean, that's
so you
how
get there
it's
a little
gonna,
bit fucking sooner,
right.
And you crush Kirk Cousins.
I'm just saying, in the devil's back. Advocate. I don't agree with it, but it's like, what is he supposed to do? Not that. Okay, so I don't know what he's supposed to do. I'm not giving answers, and what he can't do is wrap him up around below the knees. He can't do that. Now, it's ridiculous because he was at his butt and just kind of slid down. He was at his ass and slid down.
Yeah, I'm hoping that becomes one of those plays that every time they go back to the competition committee or whatever it's called in the NFL to decide. Like, one thing I would love for them to bring back is the 5-yard variety of the face mask. Because there is two different types. Like, there's one where it's blatant or gruesome, and then there's the other one where it's like, the guy's hand was on the mask, and then he... So that's this is one of those too, ones where it's like, all right, so this was a play where he went low, but he really didn't. So we're going to do, it's going to be a 5-yard penalty, but it's not going to be an automatic first down. And that would have been reasonable right there, where it would have still fell in lines with what they're trying to do and protect these guys. But at the same time, it wouldn't be a game-changing play where it's a 15-yarder and it's an automatic first down inside of our 10 instead of them being, I think that would have put them on fourth and, I want to say it would have been like, say, fourth and 8 from our 20-something. And they would have probably went for a fucking field goal.
I 100% agree. I'm just saying that's not how it is. You're right. It's just not going to be that way this year. They're going to have to change the rule in the offseason or be a little bit. What happens, the problem is with football, I feel this way, because it's not this way in basketball. It's not this way in baseball. It's not this way in soccer. In hockey, I guess you can, it might be a little bit closer. But the NFL wants to have every little tiny regulation in a rule book, where in baseball you call balls and strikes. Now, you could say it's a ball or a strike, you know, within reason. If it's close, the umpire called a strike. You thought it was a ball. We can have all this technology to tell us exactly what it was, but whatever, balls and strikes are called. Same thing with basketball. You can call a foul. You don't have to call a foul. They're never going to have discretion. They have discretion on offensive holding, I guess, like that. You know, everyone holds
every play.
Technically, they hold their jerseys. But they just try to legislate everything. So there is never going to, in football, there will never be discretion.
So that's another thing I wanted to bring up about the O-line play that I didn't mention, is that when the run distribution isn't there, those guys are constantly catching these. We're always on our heels. You need to have better run distribution, so they don't know what's coming on the defensive line.
Well, that's good. That's a good callback to an hour ago. But as far as the penalties go, right now,
way to be on top of that, Rex.
The penalties.
I'm on top of that, Rose.
The penalties, though. I mean, I agree with you guys. It's fucking bullshit. It's no fun to watch. But what they don't want. Unfortunately, they don't want Minnesota's season to end because
it happens. It's part of the game.
But he wasn't going to get hurt in that fucking tackle.
Hold on, that doesn't matter. We don't know. What if Bennett's momentum broke his ankle? Okay, I mean, I'm not saying that would happen. They just don't want. They are going to legislate.
I thought it was
it.
A very in the end, it was a very lackadaisical sack.
Totally, and then he kind of let him fall on him. It was very soft.
Just like gathered up his ankles, and this is a roughing the passer?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
I'm just saying that's what they're going to call.
I don't want to sound like a sour grapes officiating crybaby Eagles fan.
Like me?
A lot of us do. But guess what? We don't get a lot of calls, and that was fucking bullshit.
It was one of the worst calls, not only this season, but that I have ever scenes.
Awful. Yeah.
And it, this comes off of, you know, the officials decide not to put the flag in their pocket in the last 2 minutes of overtime. Okay, now, first of all, here's another thing. We can bring this back up, and yeah, maybe should have brought it up again. Should have brought it up last week, but how is that call made? And the one where the Titans get the fucking, a bat to the helmet in the Titans game that ultimately wound up costing us 3 points again.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. So here's the question, and I got to pose it, and then I think we move on. I've got a couple other topics here, but we've been at this for an hour and a half now, and I think we're probably going to go right to picks after this. But I don't want to say it, but at this point, I think I have to. Is anybody wondering whether or not this team is actually that good? Was last year an anomaly? Did the planets align? Was there so much momentum and energy in that locker room that lifted everyone to the next man up role? Because last year, did you go into the season thinking they were a Super Bowl contender? I did not.
Well, that's the difference between Eagles fans and Flyers fans, is that I, you know what, when I found out the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I was out to sea. I actually went online, and it takes forever to load, but I still didn't believe it.
You didn't believe it? Believe it.
But that's the difference between Eagles fans, and we, even though we saw the clock tick down and we were ahead and we won, we still don't believe it.
Well, I like where your head's at on that, but in all fairness, from a talent standpoint, did you actually believe in the beginning of last season that team was poised to win a Super Bowl? I didn't.
No.
I didn't at all.
Distraction.
It's okay. Distractions
this
are good.
I like what you were saying there. This is the difference in them. The Eagles last year, there's always a little something extra, and it's not grit and hustle. It's not any of that fucking bullshit. It is some spirit, something where you need to
some
make
spit
some spirit. You need to make
that spirit.
Listen to this. You need to make that play. You need to make that stop. You need to get that first down. And the Eagles just did it. On the other hand, you know, the Flyers, they don't make those plays. And that's why they're a 500-ish team. Ish. And the Eagles right now aren't making those plays. And that's why they're a 500-ish team. You need a stop against Tennessee. You're playing a playoff team on the road in Tennessee. It's hot. You're favored to win by 2.5 points. I mean, they're not.
They should have won that game.
They should have won that game.
But here's the other part.
But you got to make those plays. You got to make those stops.
You do. And it goes back to everything that stats, even though, you know, we herald us ourselves for not being a stat-related show.
I like stats.
I do too, but not where I have to remember, because I'm way too many drugs and alcohol to remember half the shit that most people can retain. But all the stats right now suggest exactly what this team looks like. And people go, well, you know, we're one play away from being 5-0 in each game. Well, guess what? We're one play away from being 0-5 as well. So this team is right now a 500 team, and it's frustrating, and it's not what we want to see coming off of that. But I got to be honest with you, at the same time, you know, they could lose every game for the rest of the season. And I'm still, I know, but guess what? We're still walking into fucking Wembley in 2.5 weeks, Super Bowl champions.
Marching.
And we're walking out
winners,
Super Bowl champions. And every other place that I have to go to for the rest of the season, and all those dickwads in Dallas that, here's my 5 rings. Yeah, take that and wrap it around your dick and go jerk yourself off, you fucking roach.
Shove them up your ass.
Tired of it. So we get to walk in and out as Super Bowl champs, and we're going to see. They need to right the ship tomorrow. There is no question in my mind, I don't think any of yours, that it's a must-win.
Must-win.
Tomorrow. So, Eagles, we got your back. By the way, in case you did not sign up yet, you can go to greenlegion.com. We're having a big party over at Vesper Sporting Club in Northern Liberties. That's right next to Vesper Day Spa.
What up, O'Neal?
You're a jackass. He was on the show last night. He's still funnier than ever.
Yeah.
He actually got laid by a pretty hot chick.
Pictures were phenomenal.
Yeah. Wow. We're kind of happy for him. But
because we're going to his establishment tomorrow, I'm not going to insert a bunch of jokes in here.
No, please do. Please do.
Okay. Well.
He does not bang ugly chicks, though.
No, he doesn't.
He runs Vesper.
He's a good man. So anyway, if you guys want to head there, it's $50. All you can drink, stateside vodka drinks and Miller Lite from 6:30 through halftime. There's also a big buffet, including the Philly chicken burger, patented and trademarked by one Tim Liu, the owner of Vesper. And big fajita bar, chicken fingers, fries, dirty rice.
It's going to be good.
Even some veggies.
The dirty rice.
Like that. So it's a hell of a menu, and it's all the way through halftime. So you should get a good 3.5 hours worth of fueling. And hopefully we're watching a game that that actually means something. But, all right, weekly picks.
Can you please tell us who did best last week?
Well, I did best. I did best. I believe
Q already pointed out that you did not.
I didn't
do
win
best.
The contest for the week, but I'm always at my best.
I'm going to point something out here real quick, GS.
Shit.
The look on his face says Q did the best.
I came in last place last week.
You did?
Well, that's because you don't know anything about sports.
9-6. All right. You came in second, 10-5. Now, what that means is you've won or picked only one more game than I did. Just one.
That's right.
And in fantasy football, when I don't have any time to do anything, you have exactly one more win than I do right now. So take your knowledge statements and that microphone, spit on it, and stuff it straight up your ass.
Well, also, we're playing in a snake draft, not an auction draft, which everyone knows is real fantasy football.
Now, Diaz is muted for the next 3 minutes. Anyway.
Does that to win.
The Rex interruption was the big boy. 12-3 last
Boom!
Week. Did you bet?
No, I need to probably.
Dumbass.
Rex, you see how bad I'm at
Rex
fantasy.
Rex called a bunch of games that we didn't all agree on. He called the Steelers beating the Falcons.
All right.
He called the Broncos beating the Jets.
The Browns.
Okay. Those are upsets that I picked, though. You have to kind of go against
the
grain.
He picked the Cardinals over the 49ers. That's a standalone.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you had a hell of a week, man.
The Browns also won.
Okay, we got the Browns.
I got to give props to the Browns, man.
All right, man. Good. Browns. But Diaz actually took the Browns as well, so you don't have complete props there. All right, let's do it. Let's just jump into this. Let's get through this, get our final thoughts, and we're going to get the hell out of here. We're actually going to end the show tonight, not with any music, but my favorite football clip of all time, little Bob Nelson from 1984, Ronnie Dangerfield's ninth annual Young Comedians when he does the football impersonation. You guys will probably
enjoy. Right guard.
Right guard. Eagles-Giants. Are we all just picking the Eagles just so we don't get
stuck? I want to have a good time, man.
I think they're going to win tomorrow.
Fucking Eli sucks. Eli's a bitch. I needed more Eli face.
And
Eli that face
DQR. Pictures. We got
Odell
a DQR
Beckham
there.
Is a fucking cancer, too, up there, man. It's only going to get worse as the season goes on.
All right. Well, I think we've talked enough about that game. Buccaneers at Falcons. A big, big must win for the Falcons right now. And at home against Jameis Winston back?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll pick Bucks.
Taking the Bucks?
I'm taking the Falcons at home.
I'm taking the Falcons as well.
Julio Jones has one touchdown this season.
He always has one touchdown.
Fucking ridiculous.
He had three last year.
Panthers at Redskins.
Ooh.
Keeping in mind, Alex Smith did say that he still has yet to mature fully as a quarterback at 34
years old.
Drafted
in 2005, 2006, right?
Panthers.
I'm picking the Panthers.
Yeah, I think it's a DQR on that one. Seahawks at Raiders.
Seahawks.
Oh, man.
You're checking the line? You're not supposed to do that.
Get off your phone.
You're not supposed to do that.
I'm going Seattle. Motherfuckers.
It's a DQR. The Raiders blow. Chucky sucks.
Yeah, Raiders blow.
Suck. Colts and Jets.
Colts.
Jets.
Go against the Jets last week, you go for the Jets this week, huh?
At home, they're better.
I'm going with Rex.
I saw a funny tweet today by Captain Andrew Luck. If y'all follow Captain Andrew Luck, whoever tweets for him is tweets as if he was in the Civil War, and basically it's funny. And he's like, "Dearest mother," he only follows two accounts. He's got like 800,000 followers. He follows the Indianapolis Colts and Ken Burns. And every tweet is "Dearest Mother," and it's all written like all, you know, Civil War era. He's always writing home to his mother, and he's like, "Oh, I arrived at New York, and they decided that they need to play in the swamps of Jersey," and just goes off on Jersey. It's really funny. Great story, Diaz.
That's fantastic, Diaz. Yep. I love where your head's at right now. Sure. It looks like the printout.
There's
shorted
a,
me some games here.
Do you see when Andrew Luck throws for at least 50 attempts, it's kind of like the Allen Iverson comparison, where when he shoots too much, or when Andrew Luck throws too much.
When he shits too much?
They fucking lose. But when they distribute the ball more
effectively. When they what?
Distribute the ball more effectively, they actually win. So maybe the Eagles can learn from that.
Possibly.
Perhaps.
Bills at Texans.
Texans.
Bills at Texans. That's rough, man. The Texans suck, too. This is where I'd want to check the
They're
line.
They're overachievers, though, man.
I'm going to go Texans.
It's a DQR. Texans. Cardinals at Vikings.
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 Really?
I wouldn't be upset if there was an upset there, but I'm sure that line is at least 6.5.
I'm going with the Cards.
Oh!
He's got to break the mold, man. He's got to go for it.
Got to do something.
You got to change it up a little bit, man.
Got to change it
up.
So you
can win.
Steelers at Bengals.
Bengals.
Bengals. Bengals are good.
You know what, man? It's one of those things. I've been giving Marvin Lewis shit all year because he's 14 years into it and hasn't won dick.
Well, we'll wait to bet against him in the playoffs, of course.
But it's a DQR. I think the Bengals are a solid team right now. They're going to shit the bed when it comes to playoff time. But
they've been a solid team for a long time. It's just they have poor coaching.
This is true. Bears at Dolphins.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Man, we got Hurricane down there. Man. It's hard to win in Miami when it's hot.
The Dolphins are so unpredictable, but the Bears are a pretty solid team, man.
The Bears' defense is for real, but, dude, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, you don't know who you're getting week to week. Six touchdowns.
What's the line, Quimby?
Six touchdown guy or, like, you know, like, no touchdown guy?
I'm going to go Miami at home.
Bears.
I'm sticking with Dolphins. I think
that might Tannehill's be the, that might be the breaker
season.
Right there.
Ravens at Titans.
That's a good game.
It's a really good game.
Two better teams than I thought.
Titans are not a good team, man. We lost to a very average team.
And the Ravens lost to the Browns.
Yeah.
Everyone still thinks the Browns suck. They don't fucking suck anymore.
They're not good, coaching. Though. They're not good. The Browns aren't.
They aren't
sucked.
The all fucking.
Right, we're off the Browns.
All right. I'm going to go Tennessee at home, and then we can come in here next week and be like, hey, Rex, Tennessee's not that bad, motherfucker.
By the way, I was going to pick the Titans.
He says the Titans suck.
By the way, I'm taking the Ravens. And just to break the mold.
Yeah.
I got to catch up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to beat that 12-4 record I got last week, man.
12-3.
That's the you know that
you're right. That 12-4 record from last week will never be beaten because it never took place.
By the way, 12-3 is better than 12-4.
Jaguars at Cowboys.
Jags. Dallas sucks, dude.
I don't know who you're getting week to week with the Jags, but I'm going to go with the Jags.
Jags signed what's his name? Jamal Charles.
As much as I don't want to go with the Jaguars, I'm going with the Jaguars. Chiefs at Patriots.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm a Pat Mahomie. All Chiefs. New England's defense is so fucking slow. Now, Kansas City's offense, that's going to be a fun game to watch. Is that Sunday night?
I think that's going to be a very close game, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Pats.
I hope I'm not wasted when that game comes on.
I hope I am.
100%. Yes, Sunday night, you're
Sunday
gonna be
fun
wasted.
Day. We should do something for Sunday fun day because we don't have an opportunity to do it very often. Or I might just sit on my ass and watch Red Zone all
fucking
day.
Yeah, I might want to just kind of want to watch Red Zone.
And finally, Monday night's matchup, 49ers in Green Bay.
In Green Bay?
In Green Bay. I wouldn't lie to you about that.
Christ, they could be playing in Moscow. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
I think it's a DRQ, isn't it?
Wait a minute. Oh, no. They flipped, Sunday night this week, right?
What?
They flipped. Oh, no, it was week 7 they flipped it.
Flip till 9.
No, I know they bucked it because, 49ers were hurt or something like that. All but right. Anyway, 49ers at Green Bay, Green Bay.
All right. Well, there we go, everyone. Final thoughts.
Who's going to go first?
Thank God.
Who's going to go first?
Thank God. I'll do it since you guys have obviously no final thoughts.
I was going to get really angry about the Michael Bennett call again, but, you know, what are you going to fucking do? Yeah. So maybe the one solution I mentioned is that they have a 5-yard variety that does not give you an automatic first down and a 15 variety that is an automatic first down.
Which would be resolved at the, you know.
Competition committee.
Competition committee in February. So we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. My final thoughts are it is Wednesday. We got a game on Thursday.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday. The Giants suck. Eli Manning sucks. The Swamp sucks. And for everyone that keeps asking, are we going to go up there? Listen, it sucks up there. It's no fun.
There's nothing to do
it's
around there.
It's shitty. The hotels are shitty. It's a convention center.
They do not. The Meadowlands does not open up their tailgate lots or parking lots until 4 hours before the game. You can't set up what you need.
You can't cater.
I could bring up everything in coolers underneath a bus and have everybody set it up. No, fuck that.
That's not what we do.
It's exactly not what we do.
We're going to promise you a DJ and catering and all this shit, and it's going to be an hour
tents.
And a half. Yeah.
We're going to promise you boats, aren't we, Mackie?
You think the Mormons were running that fucking place up there, right?
But let's talk.
Seriously.
We might have a nice recovery Sunday with Red Zone. I haven't watched it all season. And then Tuesday night in Boston.
Game opener.
Shock the
season
world.
Opener.
Watch JoJo just go off on those motherfucking Celtics. I hate the fucking Celtics. So before our next show, we're going to have a... Unless we do the show during the...
This is you rambling.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying we got Eagles-Sixers action before we talk again.
All right. Well, our action is my final thoughts. I hate everything and every single person that comes out of New York.
Fuck
everybody.
You, period.
We appreciate you guys listening in on episode 7 of the DQ Sports Blizzard. Don't forget all of our sponsors, Bourbon Blue and Manayunk, Stateside Vodka, Miller Lite, Yards, especially their PPA and Brawler, Bucks County Baseball Company, our good friend JP, 422 Jeep Limerick, our friend Mike McVay. Go over there, talk sports, spend $40,000, walk out with a car, Cavanaugh's Restaurants, River Deck, Head House, Rittenhouse, and of course 39th and Sansom University City. Our friends at Delilah's and the beautiful ladies over there, Barnaby's Westchester. We are going to leave you out tonight with the stylings of Bob Nelson.
TTP! Oh, I'm sorry. I must be full.